Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Glory to God. All right. Now, let's look here and see what we've got. We talked about this time being a set time for the favor of God, and talking about the vengeance of our God and the recompense, and really trying to get the proper understanding of what vengeance and recompense is. Because if you don't, you just drift back into the old, what we thought we knew, which we found out we didn't know much. And but let's just deal with this, because we're talking now about the day of his power, the day of his power. Now let's go through here. Just wait on me just a moment here. I want to get my thinking together. I'm still flowing. Now, here he's talking about sons of God. We said the mature offspring. And we said that's the biggest thing that has to happen with the church, because out of that comes identity, the maturity. And that God's people have to know who they are. Because when they are talking about their identity, that their inheritance comes in proportion to that identity, that known identity. So what we did is we went over to John chapter 10. Go over there, please. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10. That's Donald sitting over there. That's why that prophetic flow is up in here, too. You got all these musical prophets up in here. Okay, now, in this, look what happened with Jesus in verse 30. "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered, "Many good works have I showed you of my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" And the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God." And Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? And if ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken," cannot be set aside or disannulled or canceled. We call them gods. And what we did with that, we saw that you and I, the Bible says that we were created in his image. Now, of course, we being born again, where the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So we were recreated. And so now we're talking about having the image that God wants us to have, so that we'll be able to handle what God has for us. And this scripture talks about we are one with him. Now, he's talking to believers here. So didn't the scripture say you are God? Now, we looked at this because we want to make sure we understand what Jesus is saying as well. So we had you put something there. Put something right there and go to John chapter 17, please. John chapter 17. All right. In John chapter 17, it's only a few doors down. Verse 21. And they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Now notice what he said in the glory. Because we've read, can you afford to go back here with me? Okay. Isaiah chapter 42. Now hold it, put something right there. I mean, just you keep it so you can just flip right back, because I'm making a point. Sometimes you find out what something is by finding out what it ain't. You know what I mean? What it's not. Okay? Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 42. Let me know when you get to Isaiah 42. All right, it's on the board. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to who? Another. Neither my praise to graven images. Old Testament. I flip to the New Testament, and all of a sudden I see that Jesus said, the glory that you gave me, I'm giving them. Now, God just said he won't give his glory to another. He just said that. But now you see the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And now, why is he giving his glory to another? He's not. He's giving it to himself. Are you following what I'm saying? Because we are not separate from him. All right, come on back. Come on. Let's go to Acts again. Acts real quick. Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9. We rolled through this a little bit last time, but remember what I said. Your inheritance is proportional to your identity. And that's why I think in one of his albums talks about there's a king in you. I mean, you got to know this royalty. And the one that came back home and got his inheritance is the one who was willing to be received of the Father and repented of his sins. And then the Father put the best coat on him and put ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. But the other boy was out there complaining. Notice he didn't get what he was supposed to get because of how he saw himself. He was also a son of his father, but he didn't receive his royalty. He didn't receive his sonship. And I'm saying the same thing about the church. We got to grow up because we have to see ourselves as God sees us. Lord have mercy. Are y'all with me here? You see, the Bible's Lord have mercy. Ooh-wee. I'm going to cover that. Let me hit this first. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. Now, he's doing that against the disciples of the Lord. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou who?
Me.
And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am who? Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, wait a minute. I thought he was persecuting the disciples. No, I thought he was persecuting the disciples. Well, you see what I'm saying? Jesus made no distinction between the head and the body. I'm telling you, folks, this has got a lot to do with how far you go. Don't think I'm nitpicking now. I'm telling you who you are. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 17 that you are God's offspring. And I told you, a horse has a horse. A cow has a cow. A dog has a dog. A cat has a cat. Well, if you're God's offspring and he had you, what are you? You've got to be God's. And my point to you is the thing that separates you from the reality of being God's is how you operate. It's your identity of how you see yourself. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, I got the right bunch in here today. I believe I got the right bunch. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you there? Look what it says here in verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to righteousness and lose your desire to sin. See, I'm saying that when you know who you are and where you are, that you're seated together with him in heavenly places, when you have identified yourself with him and the flow of that anointing is coming in your life, I'm telling you, you'll lose a desire to do the things of the world and the things of sin, and you'll want to do the things and act just like your father. You'll be trying to do everything he's doing, how he does it, and so forth and so on. Do you hear what I'm saying? And anyway, when you gain a sense of righteousness, that is right standing with God, no sense of sin, no sense of sin consciousness or inferiority, no sense of unworthiness and all of that, once you get rid of that, faith just flows like a flood. I told them in here on last Wednesday night, I said, let me tell y'all something. I said, it is not a problem of God healing you. Because if you want to know the truth, he's already healed you. Am I right about that? So let's say the sun is shining. Well, what will keep the sun off of you? Something that you put between the sun and you. It's not the sun's fault. Come on, the fault is our own. See, the fault is with the receiver. The receiver can't receive what's already been sent. So God told me, son, I was asking him, son, God, what do we need to do to make these people grow? I said, do we need to do this or do that? He said, no, just get the hindrances out and it'll grow like wildfire. So that's what I'm saying. Don't be work on trying to get something. Try to get rid of, no, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying just get the hindrances out. See, get the unbelief out. Get the fear out. Get it. Come on now, all of that. And once y'all do, I got, if it spit on y'all, just wipe it on. It's healed. It's healing in that. But once you do and get that out, then faith will take hold of you. And deliverance will take hold of you. Come on now. And blessings will start manifesting in your life. Folks, before you can get wealthy in God, you first have to get rid of the image that lack of wealth has produced.
That's right. Amen.
And wealth will just flow on you. You follow what I'm saying? See, this is not hard, folks. This is not hard.
Thank you, Lord.
To awake to righteousness.
Yes.
I got to come alive to how God sees me. Because he sees me right.
Yes.
Boy, when you know how God already sees you, you start acting like
that.
Now, I know they didn't teach this in that church you came from, but that's why you came up in here. Is this making sense to you? This is your day, and you're not going to miss it. This is the time, the set time of the favor of God in your life. And you are not going to miss it. Whatever has been standing in the way of your progress, your success, your prosperity is going to be dealt with starting today. Everything, and it makes no difference what it is. Now, let's go to another place here. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. You see what I got to do? I got to work on this image. Because over in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, he said, there's something wrong here. You got folks who's supposed to be kings acting like slaves. and the folks who are slaves riding on the horse. Are you with me? Look what he says here in 1 John chapter 2. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord. Chapter 2. Pardon me, I'm thinking about another lesson. Chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. What is fellowship? Two fellas in a ship. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Okay, what is fellowship? Now look here. You cannot fellowship with something beneath you. It's got to be in your class. God is fellowshipping with you. That's not putting God down. That's lifting you up. See, when you're out of fellowship, next thing you know, you can't hear God. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. How long you been waiting? 9 months? I'm just waiting on the Lord, waiting to hear from the Lord. Well, God is probably talking right now. But sin separates you from God. Now, I'm not talking about just being involved in it. I'm talking about sin thinking. Sin consciousness separates you from the revelation of God. Here, one night, I tell you, I was in Minnesota. Everybody's going to bed. I'm sitting up there waiting, trying to get a message from God because next day was Sunday. It's 12 midnight or something. And I'm waiting. I'm, Lord, I'm going to work God. I'm going to work this thing. God. Now, God, you know. You know, them my old days, my old con days. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about with y'all. The lady didn't like you. You go into your. But anyway, so what happened? I said, God, the people need a word, God. Here's what he said. I heard it clear as a bell. What are you doing? I said, I'm trying to get a word. Is that the way you supposed to come to me? I said, well, no, not exactly. Said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, why don't you do that? I said, all right, well, praise God. And when I said that word, I was writing faster. Now, what was I doing? That sin consciousness was blocking me from my inheritance of being able to get a word so I can go to bed. And folks, these songs will block it. Because it'll build in an image that Jesus is passing by. And I'm down on the side of the road, please don't pass me by. Now the Bible says he's in you. Now how could he pass you and he's in you? No. Wait a minute. Ask yourself that. How in the world? Now see, somebody in here, now what you doing? You trying to get mad, but that ain't gonna help you. Because you don't know BW. You know, I'm going to preach it whether you like it or not. See, the reason why you came in here is you came in here to get your inheritance. And what has been blocking it, we got to remove it. And sometimes, you know, it may take a little time for, because this is major surgery. We got to cut this thing out with the sword of the Spirit. Say amen. amen to that. And it's coming out of you too. So I'm saying this is key. Now, the other thing is that when we are serving God, remember that, again, I told you, we're talking about coming and going from right to left, because we're talking about Hebrew, and the sun rises up on one side and sets on the other. The idea about it, glory to God, is that you and I have to get us firmly planted in truth first. Amen. Before the blessing is a lot of that is manifest, because a lot of times what people do is they're trying to get the blessing with no commitment. Come on now, tell them. Can I go this way for just a minute here? I'm saying it might come because God trying to show you he loves you. But in the long run, what's going to help you is you got to come over here and get yourself some truth and get yourself in the Word of God, so that God, when he blesses you with your Mercedes 600 SEL, whatever, you won't stop coming to church. Folks, the days are over when pastors are hoping their members show up. I go places and preach, and they making excuses. Well, Pastor, we had a little rain this morning, and that's why people can't, you know, they haven't come out. I said, well, I don't see but 50 out here. Whatever it is. But my point to you is, we need to stop that. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. The idea of being fair weather Christians. And coming out when everything's right and all, you know, the dog don't bark and so forth. We need to come out anyway. We need to come get the word, expect God, to hear from God and so forth. Am I right about this? I don't know how I got on all of this. All right. Now, so what we talked about is this idea, one of the things is justice. Now, let's go over to Psalm chapter 82, because we're talking about the divine nature of God, that you, because you've been born of God, now you have picked up his nature. And his nature is love. His nature is righteousness. His nature is justice. And that the justice and judgment are to be a part of this whole execution of bringing the kingdom of God into this earth, because there have been injustices here. Are you with me? Well, I'm telling you the truth. Okay. All right. Now, hallelujah. Glory to God. So, now where did I tell you to go? Okay. All right. Psalm chapter 80. Flow. Okay. Okay. All right. I'll get it. Just a minute. Psalm chapter 82. Now, remember, just a minute. Uh-huh. That's what that was, wasn't it? Just a minute, folks. Hold on. Yeah. You know. You know, I think I've taught you all too much. Okay, here it is. Okay, all right. The food is on its way, brother. It's on its way. Ow! Now, this is not pickled pig feet. This is some good stuff. Okay, that's all right. Hey, we're there. We're flowing. All right, now, let's go to the next part. Now, when I was mentioning vengeance and recompense, now, it's key that you understand this, because this is part of what we've been called to do. And a lot of this hasn't been done. Many times, when he talked about, well, let me show you something. Let me show you something. Let's go. Put something right there. Can I just flow? Can I just do what I want to do? Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me know when you get there. Amen. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Powerful verse. Now let's look at this. First of all, when. Now, if you know anything about the Greek, you know that a Greek word for wind is pneuma. But that is not the word he's using here. He's using another Greek word, and this Greek word is the word anemos, A-N-E-M-O-S. And that's the word we get our word animal from, which has to do, animal, you know, has a soul but no spirit. And this is talking about when he says a reed, he is now talking about a staff or a pen. And it refers to the writing of God's laws. And when he says, well, what would we out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken in the wind. Now, he is saying it refers to people who have rewritten God's laws to fit the fashions of the time. Are y'all with me? They are modern day Aarons. As you remember, Moses went up on the mountain, and when he went up there, they came to Aaron and told Aaron, let's build a calf. And Aaron said, hey, sounds like a good idea to me. Well, what they did is they ended up building this calf. And once they did that, the people began to dance and play and so forth and so on. Now, what happened is Moses came back down there and said, what are y'all doing? Now, my point to you is this whole idea about changing the scriptures to fit the trends of the times so that people will accept it. And what Paul warned us about is this kind of philosophy. Now, let that go right there, because talking about John was in camel's hair, and it referred to him as in talking about soft clothing and so forth like that. If you look at it, this is the same word that's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, that meant effeminate. And if you remember, the word of God, Lord have mercy. Stay with me. What I'm saying is, You and I are what we eat. And you cannot expect strength to come out of people who have not been fed a good diet. Now, I'm going back to first. Can I just preach this the way I want to preach it? Let's go. You let that go. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. Now, I do believe what I'm preaching to you right now is exactly what God wants you to hear. See, because we are designed basically with no limits. I mean, the church is the most powerful institution in the world. And Jesus healed the maimed. The maimed. These people who have their limbs cut off, let's say been in a bombing or something in the war, and they had their leg cut off, Jesus grew it back. See, but I know there's a missing part in this right side because there's been a left-handed gospel. And people haven't dealt with the judgment and justice of God to gain the strength of God because they've had no reverent respect for it. And that is designed to put something in you that whenever something comes against you, that you can stand. They had to know something when Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't bow, I'm going to put you in that fire. And they said, King, we respect you, but the God that we serve, he is able to deliver us. And he will. And they got thrown in that fire, didn't even feel it. No fire touched them nowhere. Now, I'm saying that you got to have something in you or else you're going to cow. I'm saying God wants you to climb up the mountain of the sphere of influence that he's placed you in without compromise. And folks, well, let's look at this right here. I'm telling you, this thing, it bothered me when God's people, some of them couldn't accept this idea of vengeance and recompense that well. That bothered me a little bit. And I said, well, Lord, what is it there? He said, it scares them. They think they missing God, so forth and so on. Hey, wait a minute. God says, you're going to judge the angels. You're going to be judges of this earth. You see, he has given, Lord have mercy.
Hallelujah.
Folks, to grow up is to manage this place. You're not mad at people. The Bible says you wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But against who? Principalities and powers. But the Bible says you cannot take a strong man's house and spoil his goods unless you first, come on, bind the strong man. Most of the church has not been mature enough to even know that the strong man was resisting them. They thought the contract just went to somebody else. Folks, the devil who controls this demonic economic system diverted that contract. And because God's people have been spiritually immature and basically cannot discern things in the spirit, then that devil got away with it. But God is telling you something. I'm coming back in and I'm going to take care of it myself. Should have been built by now. That bank should have been started by now. That home for the poor should have been built by now. That orphanage should have been running by now. Come on, that college education should have been finished by now. That new business should have been started by now. That millionaire should have been made by now. But he's been conniving, he's been stealing, he's been craftily taking things away from us. I'm telling you, God has kept records, that heaven has kept records of everything the devil stole. And now it's a time for vengeance. Vengeance is not mean. Vengeance is not mad. Vengeance is not some emotional tirade. Vengeance is God's justice saying, let my people go. Folks, that's good news. It's justice. Say amen to that. God is very, very concerned with justice. You start marching for justice and see how much a favor God has on your life. It is very close to the heart of God. God is still concerned about the injustice in the world. When you go and you have the kingdom in you and he sent you to a place, it's up to you to start praying for the justice to be done. It had unjust rulers and so forth and so on. But we're coming in now. We're going to right what was wrong. We're going to turn back up which was upside down. We're going to make good which was spent and lost. Say amen to that. They are still arresting people that were a part of Hitler's hit squad. They are still arresting them because of one word, justice. 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 Oh, where am I now? And I'm telling you, everybody's looking at us. They're looking at the church. The enemy has tried to bully the church, tried to make us think we didn't have any power. We got more power. Man, all we got to do is speak stuff. Speak stuff. And I'm telling you, you might be with someone right now who really is not that concerned about it. Well, they don't have the heart of God. They're mature. They're immature. They're babies. They're just trying to whatever they're trying to do. Oh, man, let me tell you, God's going to set some things right. Say amen to that. And if you're not on that side, you're not lined up with God. God is a God of justice. Civil rights and them trying to just eat at the lunch counter, that was injustice. You can't treat a person who's a human like that and so forth. I was a part of that. I was going around to the back, eating out of those places, and it was flies back there and mud back there. And I had to go in that door and order a fish sandwich or something because that's all they had and drink out of a dirty, nasty water fountain. And I would tell my dad, why are they drinking out of that fountain and I got to drink out of this one? I don't understand that. Make me understand this. Even as a little boy, I knew that was unjust. Well, the church was supposed to be the one to make it right. And because the church was blinded by the enemy and walking in the same darkness as the world, they were part of the problem. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. But this is a brand new church. This is a brand new church. Say amen to that. Thank God for it. Thank God we've come in here and we can have all backgrounds of people in here because we're going to be one marching army. If it's wrong, we're going to call it out. say amen to that. I don't care who it is, where it comes from. Amen. Now that's the time we're walking in. Say amen to that. I went over that last time. That Jebusite spirit, that stomped down spirit, that's a spirit of racism. You don't want that spirit. All them spirits got to go. All them spirits got to go. Say amen to that. And then today I was looking at another spirit. This is a spirit that tried to make people a villager, tried to make people small, try to make them think small, try to make them so they don't think out of the box, try to make them so they don't think they can make it that much. That they, are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying it's all kinds of strong men, spirits out there, and people don't know they've been controlled by those spirits. But we're about to come against all of that. I'm telling you, here's what he told Israel. He said, Now, Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, if you don't, Pharaoh, I'm going to have to deal with you. Now, the Pharaoh first is the devil. Let God's people go. Whatever you're trying to use to hinder them from fulfilling the plan of God for the life of this earth, you better get out of the way, because I'm going to deal with you. And anybody that's trying to hold them, I'm going to have to deal with him. I'm going to have to deal with her. It doesn't make any difference who it is, folks. Say amen to that. Boy, I didn't mean to preach like this. This is our time, saints, and there is nothing that's going to stop the plan of God from coming to pass in this hour. My Lord. Now, where did I say I was turning now? Joshua, Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Whatever you've been struggling with, I said you're going to struggle with no longer. Whatever's been hindering you is going to be put down. Whatever's been in your way better give you up or they're going to be dealt with. The terrorist is going to be terrorized from this day forward. Man, this is God's message for this hour. I'm not backing down off of it. It is God's message. Justice is very close to the heart of God. People have resolved and just settled in and just accepted it. Well, that's just the way things are. No. You got some believers that are about to rise up. Concerned whether you're going to get hurt, because I cancel hurt, harm, accidents, and death in your life. I cancel it right now. There are people that have been defrauded, people who have been exploited, people who have been embezzled, people who have been resisted. I'm telling you right now, this is a day of the vengeance of the Lord. And because vengeance hasn't been preached, God's people have been victims, but no more, because I'm preaching it. I'm preaching it from the housetop. I'm preaching it in the valleys. I'm preaching it everywhere that it needs to be preached. Justice shall roll down like a mighty river. Glory to God, have mercy. Justice is so precious to the heart of God. The enemy, he tries to run systems of injustice. And if he can do that, he can crush the hope of many, many people. And he could perpetuate every manner of evil through injustice. We're not going to have it. Look what it says in Colossians. Let's try to finish this up. My Lord. Say amen to this. Now, I didn't mean to preach like this today. I had something else I was going to preach. But the Lord would say, now, what you had is in the church about the third or fourth century, you had some people come into church called Gnostics. They brought this thinking of Gnosticism. Now, Paul talks about it. Look what it says in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not, come on, after Christ. Now, over in the Amplified, it says this: see to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captives by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit and idle fancies and plain nonsense, following the rudiments and the elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ and the who is the Messiah. Now, my point to you is that God had become in the church an opinion. Faith had been replaced by man's philosophy. And people tried the word and it didn't work. So they begin to alter what God said to agree with their experience. There is nowhere in the Bible that it say, be ye triers of the word. The Bible tells you to be a doer of the word. Say amen to this. The church is designed not to know one single limit. And I tell you, folks, I asked God, I said, Lord, well, what made this come to me? How come I got this? He said, because I pour water on ground that is thirsty. Say amen to this. Folks, I am tired of seeing what's happening. And in the church, here we trying to just raise a few dollars to get the airplane, or raise a few dollars for this, and the church got to wait on payday and so forth like that. Well, it's time for recompense. It's time. I said it's time for recompense. You see, the enemy has been stealing from us and trying to keep us small and closed in. That is a strong man called parasites. And the parasites are these kinds of spirits that will not allow people to grow up. It keeps them small. You see, this is kind of what happens in terms of sometimes with pastors, that sometimes what happened is a good parent wants their child to grow up. It wants their child to become increasingly independent. But a bad parent wants their children to stay under their control, never let them get grown up, never let them leave the house, never want them to do anything, never want to cut that umbilical cord. And I'm saying that when they do that, basically they create what was created in this person called Mephibosheth, or you can call him Tiny Tim. And Tiny Tim was basically crippled. And because he was crippled because the nurse tried to take care of him. And in a time that it was some affliction coming, she dropped him. And when she dropped him, he became crippled, and became a dependent. Now, I'm not saying that people that are crippled today have to be like that. Because if you got a mind, you can function. My point to you is that we've got to watch holding people down and not allowing them to really grow up and that they can now see, glory to God, they can be all that God has called them to be. They can be the leaders that God called them to be. Sometimes you got to push them out of the nest. Sometimes you got to, come on now, when they get, you can't let a baby crawl around forever. Sometimes you got to prop them up and let them kind of walk a little bit. Oh, they may stumble, I'm telling you. But the Bible says if you confess your sin, he's willing to, glory to God. So I'm saying with us now that there is this spirit that will stomp on people to try to keep them down or humiliate them or make them not so that they can grow taller. And then there's this parasite spirit, and that's a spirit that keeps people small, keep them thinking small, keep them thinking in terms of a village and not in terms of the nations. So we are putting an end to that, that there will no longer be the Jebusites or the parasites operating in your life. The day for you being stomped on is over. The day for you thinking small is over. I'm here to tell you right now that you're coming out of captivity, that you're coming out of everything that the enemy has tried to set up to keep you in bondage. For this is your day. So whatever has been holding you back is now going to be dealt with. Whatever's been against your peace is now going to be dealt with. Whatever's been against your prosperity, your progress is going to be removed. Whatever's been humiliating you or afflicting you is now being cut off. Whatever's been against your career, your business, your family is now being put down. Whatever won't let you go must let you go today in the name of Jesus. I decree it and declare it. Now, every dime that's been stolen from you, been embezzled from you, been scammed from you, been defrauded from you, being exploited from you, every dime is coming back, and it's coming back starting right now. This is your time. Not only that, I decree that because you may have been behind educationally or intellectually, I speak an intellectual endowment on your mind right now. It's going to come on you and bring you up to a place where you should have been in Christ in the first place. Say amen to that. Sit down. If you go home and there's something that you sense that's being held back, you stand right in the middle of that floor and tell old Pharaoh. Tell the devil, because he's trying to run the thing. Command him to release it now. If it's your children, your grandchildren, command him to release them now in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that he will avenge you speedily. And I'm saying once you say it, sit down, go get something to eat. Let the peace of God roll through your heart and through your mind, because the devil must give it up now. I set myself in agreement with you that what you decree this day up to 12 o'clock tonight, in line with God's word, you decree it. I agree with it. It's coming in this week. Folks, we got to rise up. We can't be timid anymore. We can't look anymore at what the people say or what they might think about us. It's time for justice. It's time for God's favor to be made manifest. Sit down. I'm telling you, that enemy's been messing with our kids, messing with our grandkids, messing with our careers, messing with our money, messing with our health, messing with our wealth, messing with our blessing. I'm telling you, them days are over. I said, them days are over. I said, them days are over. I told you, it's a prophetic thing in here today. I said it's a prophetic thing in here today. Now, we're not mad at people. That's not the idea, because you don't have to get even with anybody. But what God is going to do is he's going to move in on your behalf. I said whatever Pharaoh has been holding, he's going to have to let it go, because he's going to be tormented until he lets your property go. Start right now. Right now. Starting right now, I said. It is what we need to have. We need to have a session here where all we do is decree things. Just decree a thing, and it shall be established. We are royalty. My goodness, my goodness. All right. Take your seats, please. You and I in the natural probably have no idea of what has been held back from you. Have no idea. But heaven knows. Heaven knows. I'm telling you now, that's why I'm trying to build this other side up in you, because I don't want you to get your money and run. That ain't the deal. The deal is Isaiah 61 verse 4, you shall build.
Yes.
You shall build. You shall build. For you to build a place for $20, $25 million won't be nothing but a drop in the bucket. Because you shall build. Amen. It's our time now. And you're not going to miss it. Because I'm going to preach it till you get it. Now, I used that example illustration there where he was talking about the those people who served with Hitler, because that's a natural example. I'm not against people now, but that's a natural example of what's happening in the spirit. God has not forgotten what's been done to you. Not forgotten it. He's concerned about justice. If you don't believe it, start operating in it and see how favor picks up in your life. Injustice in a nation will cause a people much, much suffering because it's unjust. God is not for that. Well, you got something out of it, didn't you, today? Oh, Lord. I really believe that when the church wakes up to this, we'll have no problem getting young folk in church. because they'll see something that's real. See something that's real. Yeah, yeah. They've seen too much tipping and sipping. They want to see something that's real. Mm. Say hallelujah. Oh, it's coming. It's coming back to you. God has not forgotten you. This is your time now. I tell you, after 400 years, I believe that Israel, in some ways, thought God had forgotten about them. But he sent a man named Moses, a man who was raised up for such a time as this. And he had inside of him that what it took to go down and face old Pharaoh and tell him one thing. Let my people go. Folks, it's something when you can see it in the spirit. You can see the injustice. And Satan has been the author. He has blinded one people and oppressed the others. It's an anointing now for deliverance. An anointing now for healing. It's an anointing now for restoration. It's an anointing now for lifting of burdens. It's an anointing now for destroying low self-esteem. I'm just glad that you didn't give up. Because help is on the way. Give the Lord a praise, would you? Help is on the way. Okay, before we leave, stay with me just a little while longer now. Before we leave, somebody here, you don't know him. You don't know Jesus. And God sent you here because this is your time of a new beginning. This is a time that you can get all your sins blotted out and that you can start all over again. That God will give you a brand new start. So if you're here now, let me share with you that God won't force you to do this because he respects your free will. The enemy will try to drive you, but God won't. God leads you. And I want to pray with you the same prayer they prayed for me that night that changed my life forever. That same God that saved me and turned my life around is the same God that's here today. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father, but he first come through me. So I want to introduce you to Jesus. I'm not talking about religion now. He said, I've come that you might have life. So if you're here and you know who I'm talking about, you know who you are. Your being here is no coincidence. I want to pray with you. That's why he sent me here, to meet you here. Because this is your day of new beginnings. So if you're here and you know I'm talking to you, I want to pray with you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what you have to do. Take a step of faith right where you are. I'm not asking you to join this church. You can do that if you want to today, or do it when God gives it to you. But today I want to have you to start a new life, a new beginning. Now don't act like you have something that you don't have. You know. You don't have to pretend with God. I used to be a pretender before I got saved. But now I'm no longer a pretender. It's real now. So if you're ready for it, let me pray for you right now. Take a step of faith for me. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right here at the altar.